Well, so Steve had asked me a couple of weeks ago if I'd be willing to preach. And so when we talked about kind of the order of service, he said, so where do you want to line up? And I said, I need some space between the emotional stuff and when I stand on the stage. And I'm not sure there's enough space. I will do my best. It's a pleasure for me to be here in your church. I've heard so many great things about Choice, and Pastor Tim, thank you for letting me stand up here today and use your pulpit to teach. And I've heard so many great things about this church and just the legacy that the Lord is working out in and through you and through this body of believers. And so it's an absolute joy and a pleasure for me to be able to stand up here with you today. Hopefully you'll be encouraged today. Hopefully you'd be a little bit challenged by the Word of God today, because the reality is I don't have anything to bring to you. I got nothing in myself that's worth anything. I just want to point you to the Word of God and hope that your heart would be encouraged and your faith would be strengthened this morning. Steve told me that your pastor has chosen a theme of leaving a legacy. What a great thing. What an important thing to think about. What an important thing that you and I have got to be intentional about, because you don't leave a godly legacy on accident. You don't. It's something that you got to be very intentional about, very purposeful about. You got to work at it so that you've got this godly legacy to leave behind. And I'll just tell you, when I think about legacy, I think about Steve and Patty. I do. When I think about people who have left a mark on my life, I think about them. I don't know if you know this. How long have you been here, Steve? Almost 3 years. So you know this by now, unless you've been asleep for 3 years. But Steve and Patty are the real deal. They are the real deal. It doesn't get any more real than that. And Steve, for me, Steve was the first guy that I ever met as a 13-year-old punk kid that his faith was real. You know what I mean? I mean, not like Jesus was part of your life, but Jesus was your life kind of guy. And everything about him revolved around Jesus. His family, his ministry, it all revolved around Jesus, because he's the real deal. And that rubbed off on me. I remember when I was 13 or 14 years old, my mom was the secretary at the church, and you know, my mom is the one that brought me and my brother and sister to church every week, faithfully, every week. And I remember when I was 13 or 14 years old, our church called Steve Evans to come be our youth pastor. And I remember the first time I heard him play the piano. I've never heard anybody play the piano like that before. And he takes an old hymn and he just gives it breath and he just gives it life. And I'm like, wow. It was so amazing. And so I hope you know how blessed you are to have someone like that leading you in worship each and every week. That's a gift. It's special. But I'll never forget that. I'll never forget that. For me, growing up, I had a good family. My mom, as I said, she was faithful. She loved the Lord. She was faithful. Anytime the church was open, me and my brother and sister were there. My dad was a good dad. He was just disconnected. He served in the military. He was an alcoholic, disconnected from the church. I don't remember any time growing up that my dad would ever step foot in the church. Very seldom, if ever. So it was my mom that was my spiritual influencer. I really didn't have the guy, but Steve was that guy for me. I watched how Steve loved people. I watched how Steve served his family. And loved his wife. He was teaching me. He was teaching me what it looked like to follow Jesus. When I was 16 years old, not enough space, man. When I was 16 years old, when I prayed to receive Christ, it was Steve. that prayed with me. In the 90s, there was this popular event, this men's event called Promise Keepers. I'm a crying pastor, is that all right? I don't know if you're used to a crying pastor, but I cry a lot. So, you know, I got about 30 minutes, so get used to it. man, in the 90s, there was this huge men's event called Promise Keepers. Anyone ever go to a Promise Keepers? Yeah, okay, a few of you. I remember Steve invited me to come along to Promise Keepers. I was 16 years old. I was newly saved. I didn't really understand, you know, what the Lord had planned or how he's going to work in my life. And so he invites me to go with this group of men from church. We drive 6 hours to Denver, Colorado, and it blew my mind. This arena full of thousands and thousands of men singing and worshiping the Lord. Like, these men were on fire for the Lord. I'd never seen anything like that. And I remember on the way home, on that bus ride, man, the Lord's just messing with me. And it just ruined me. I've never seen anything like that before. And Steve sits next to me on the bus. I don't even know if you remember this. And he says, hey, check out Psalm 40. Read Psalm 40. And so I did. I flipped my Bible and it says, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me, and he heard my cry, and he brought me out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and he set my feet upon a rock, and he established my steps, and he has put a new song in my mouth, praise to our God. Many will see it in fear and will trust in the Lord. And that is my story. And listen, if you're a Christian this morning, that is your story. That is the legacy that we have. That the Lord rescued us out of a pit, and your pit may look different than mine. Your pit may look different than Tony's. But you've been rescued from a pit, and the Lord has set your feet upon a rock. And he's established your steps, and he has put a new song in your mouth. And that is why we do what we do. Amen? I mean, you ever forget why you do what you do? The what becomes a grind. When you're just going through the motions, when you're just doing things because you feel like you have to, it's a grind. It's a burden. But you got to remind yourself of why you're doing what you're doing. Why? Because you've been set free. Why? Because your feet are on the rock. Why? Because Jesus has put a new song in your mouth. That's all of our stories. And I don't want to ever get over that. I don't want to ever forget that. I don't want to get old and crusty and religious and forget what the Lord has done in my life. So I got to remember, I've been set free. I've got a new song in my mouth. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31. So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, we do it all for the glory of God. There's your why. You're going to leave a legacy, you got to have a why. Why are you doing what you're doing? It's all for the glory of God, because he's put a new song in your mouth. If you got a Bible, if you would open it up to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, we're going to look at primarily just one verse this morning. When I think about my church back home, and when I think about your church, I think a really cool legacy for a church to have is a church that loves the Word of God and a church that loves to sing. A church that loves the Word of God. They're students of the Word, and they love to sing. And so that's what I want to ask you the question this morning is, why do we need to sing? Why do we need to sing? Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18 says this, do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Now, a couple things I want to point out to you before we look at singing. Paul says to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We know that the Holy Spirit is part of the Trinity. We believe in God in three persons. We believe as Christians that God exists in three persons. He is a triune God. We've got God the Father. We've got God the Son. We've got God the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not a force. The Holy Spirit is not an it. It is a he. It is the Holy Spirit of God. It is part of the Trinity. I want you to think about this for a moment. In the Old Testament, think about how God interacted with man. God was above us. He was other than us. He spoke to us in burning bushes and pillar of cloud and fire. That's how the Lord communicated. The Holy Spirit came and went. And then you get to the New Testament, and the Lord takes a step closer to us. In John chapter 1, verse 14, it says, "The Word became flesh, and now He dwelt among us." In the Old Testament, God is above us. In the New Testament, now in Christ, God is among us. He dwells with us. It says, "He dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." And then we get to the church era. When Jesus ascends to heaven, He sends a helper. And in John chapter 14, we see the Lord take another step closer to us. He says, "I will pray to the Father, and He will give you another helper, that He may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees Him nor knows Him. But you know Him, for He dwells with you and will be" where? "In you." Isn't that amazing? In the Old Testament, God is above us. In the New Testament, God dwells with us. He walks among us. And now, He dwells in us. You have the Holy Spirit. If you're a believer in Jesus, the Holy Spirit lives inside of you. That's a game changer, folks. It's a game changer. Your ability to walk out of these doors and leave a legacy, your ability to walk out of this church and to walk in obedience is all because the Holy Spirit is in your life. You cannot walk out a legacy in your own strength and in your own power. We've got to be filled up with the Holy Spirit of God. So let's look back at our text this morning. "Do not be drunk with wine, which is dissipation," or which is sin, "but be filled with the Spirit." Just a side note. It's interesting to me that Paul says, "Do not be drunk with wine." Because if you're familiar with Ephesians chapter 5, he doesn't talk about alcohol at all. He's talking about how to have a Spirit-filled marriage, how kids should honor their parents, how employees and employers should relate to each other. He's talking about what it looks like to have a Spirit-filled life. He's not talking about alcohol at all. So what is he saying? Well, first of all, anywhere in Scripture that you read about drunkenness, it's always sin. Anywhere you read in the Bible and it talks about drunkenness, it's always talking about destruction and devastation. Always. Drunkenness is a sin. Amen? Scripture condemns it. But that's not really Paul's point. You see, in the first century church, in the church of Ephesus, it was common for people to drink alcohol in their worship services. They felt like the more intoxicated they were, the closer they would be to their gods. And so they didn't just drink a little bit. They got hammered. And they felt like somehow in their drunkenness, they were walking closer with the Lord. And Paul says, hey, maybe you've seen this. Maybe you've experienced this, but this is not the way it should be. To be filled with alcohol is counter to being filled with the Spirit of God. And he says, it's not the way it's supposed to be. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. I want you to pay attention to that phrase, be filled. Paul's not saying that somehow the Holy Spirit comes and goes from your life. We know Scripture teaches us if you're a believer in Jesus, you have been sealed with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is ever present in your life and it will never leave. But what he's saying is, if you neglect the power of the Holy Spirit in your life, it somehow diminishes the power. You don't experience the power that's already in your life, the power that's available to you. You just begin to run on fumes, and you're not experiencing God's power in your life. And I think for some of us, You come in here, maybe you're frustrated by your faith, maybe you're running on fumes, maybe you're running on empty. And I think a lot of times people are frustrated with their faith because they're trying to do Christianity without the power of the Holy Spirit in their life. They're just going through the motions. They're just checking all the boxes, but they're not filled up. They're running on empty. Paul says it's not the way it's supposed to be. It's kind of like this glove. Now, I was a youth pastor for a long time, and so I like to use object lessons. I say I'm a recovering youth pastor, all right? It takes a little while. It's like this glove. This is a work glove. Nothing special about this work glove, but it was designed and created to do some pretty cool stuff. But just by itself, it's worthless. It doesn't do anything. It doesn't do anything, does it? It doesn't carry out what it was designed and created to do unless the hand comes and fills the glove. And so now the hand works through the glove to accomplish what it was designed and purposed to do. And the same is true for your life and for mine as a Christian. That you cannot leave a legacy. You cannot do what you're designed and created to do. You cannot be who God's called you to be. You can't do what He's called you to do unless the Holy Spirit of God fills your life and works through your life. You with me? I like amens. So if you want to say amen, say amen. If you don't say amen, I might think you didn't hear me. I might just loop the sermon again. All right? So we don't want that. I told my wife, we were on the airplane, and I said, we were watching the poor flight attendant up there explaining all the safety rules and, you know, like telling us about flotation devices and how to save your life. And I look around, and nobody is listening. People are on their phones. People aren't paying attention. I said, hey, that's kind of what it's like preaching, you know? Like, I'm trying to tell you how to save your life, and you're, yeah. You don't feel that way, right? Oh. We're going to get to singing in a minute, I guess. Colossians chapter 3 is a parallel passage of Ephesians 5. They say a lot of the same things, except Paul says something a little bit different. In Colossians 3, verse 16, he says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. You want to be filled up? The word of God's got to be in your life. You want to leave a legacy? You got to be a student of the word. You got to memorize it. You got to eat it. You got to devour it. Or you're going to be running on empty. One of the things I get the privilege to do is I get to counsel people from time to time. And a lot of times those are very broken and painful situations. A lot of hurt. A lot of junk. And I get to speak life into those situations. And the first question I'll always ask them is, how's your time in the word? Are you reading? Is the word of God, are you letting it dwell in you richly? And the answer is always no. Your obedience is directly connected with your time in the word. It's connected. If you're not letting the word of God just fill your life, you will not walk in obedience. I mean, you think about it. The people who have drifted away from your church, drifted away from the Lord, it's because they've walked away from community and they've walked away from the Bible. Every time. I've never talked to a guy who's mired in sin and said, hey man, how's your time in the Word? It's like, yeah, it's awesome. Things are great. It's fresh. But you know, I'm having an affair. It doesn't happen. There's a direct connection between your obedience and you being a student of the Word. That is one of the ways that we can be filled up with the Holy Spirit of God. You're going to leave a legacy, you got to be filled up with the Word of God. So back to Ephesians 5. It says, do not be drunk with wine, which is sin, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is so interesting to me that Paul says, the very first thing he says, be filled with the Holy Spirit. You want to be filled with the Holy Spirit? Sing. Sing. Isn't that amazing? I mean, there's something about worship. Really, apart from my time in the Word of God, there's nothing that fills me up like singing. and worshiping, especially with the body of Christ. I mean, this morning, I don't know. I know 10 people in this room. But I walked into this church and I was greeted by about 20. Yeah, hey, that's cool. I was in the bathroom and people were trying to say hello to me. A little bit too far, okay? And then it did my heart good to stand right there and to hear you sing behind me. And I can imagine some of the stories, some of the things in your life that are going on. You know, I mean, I'm not naive to think everybody in here is filled up. You know, there are people walking through some really hard things right now. I know it. And man, it did my soul good to hear you sing. And your worship team's legit. I mean, they were in it. They nailed it. That was great. Yeah. Two things about singing I want to point out, and then I'll be done. The first thing about singing, and this is why it's so important, is that there is a spiritual impact horizontally. There is a spiritual impact horizontally. And so what Paul is saying is that singing is not just for your own benefit. Singing is also for your neighbor so that they can be filled up. You with me? It's not just for your own benefit, but there's a spiritual impact horizontally. Look what he says in verse 19. Be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart. Speaking to one another. In the Greek, that could also mean to encourage one another, to build one another up, to fill one another up by your singing. I mean, think about how singing unites people together. Are we national fans around here? Is that the team for baseball guys? Yeah, I guess. I'm a Mets fan. Are there any Mets fans? Oh, all right. Ooh, hey, all right. Think about it. You go to a Nationals game, 40,000 people, all different walks of life. You don't agree with a lot of them. You don't look the same. You don't talk the same. You don't come from the same places. And you're all gathered into one place, one arena, and then all of a sudden the PA comes over, the announcer comes on, he says, in honor of America, would you stand to your feet, remove your ball caps, as we sing the national anthem. And then all of a sudden, 40,000 people all unite under the banner of America. Right? One thing that we all respect, one thing that we're all in awe of, one thing that we all want to honor, and we all sing it unified. And it is so much greater than that in the church. All walks of life, all different. We don't all agree with each other, but we get in this room and we unite under the banner of Jesus and we exalt His name together. Oh man, there's nothing more powerful than that. Nothing more powerful than that. In a few moments, we're going to practice this. We're going to sing. And remember, you do not sing for your own benefit. You sing for the benefit of those around you. You sing because the person next to you may be walking through cancer. And they need to be filled up with the Spirit so that they can be comforted and have strength. You sing because the person in front of you may be mired in sin. And so you sing to speak to them through a song or a hymn or a spiritual song, and they can be reminded of the love that God has for them. You sing because the person behind you may be walking through a difficult marriage, and they've got to go home and try to love a husband or a wife who's not very lovable right now. And so you sing so that they would be filled up. You sing for the lady two rows across from you who's grieving the loss of her husband. And she needs to be filled up, and she needs to be encouraged by your singing. She needs to be reminded that God is sovereign, He's in control, that she's not been forgotten about. Church, listen, there's a spiritual impact horizontally when you sing. You do not just sing for your own filling. You sing for the filling of the people around you. You speak to one another. I've heard people say before that, you know, I'm not really into worship. Singing's just not really my thing. I'm here for the preacher, right? And I'm sure, Pastor Tim, I'm sure you're great. I'm sure. I've never heard him, but I'm sure he's great. I'm going to listen. But I've heard people say that. Music's not really my thing. And so what you do is you stand there, and your heart's disengaged, and your mouth is shut, and you don't sing. It is true that singing prepares your heart to receive from the Lord. It is true. One of the purposes of singing is to prepare my heart, to soften my heart, so that I can receive instruction from the Lord. But the danger of that is music and the worship becomes secondary to the preaching. And I don't think that's true. Worship does prepare your heart to receive from the Word of God. But do you know why we preach? We preach so that you'll be filled up and leave this place and be a better worshiper. You with me? So this church, men especially, men, this church needs you to sing. This church needs you to care about singing. Not just for your own benefit, but for the benefit of the people around you. There is a spiritual impact vertically, horizontally, and there's a spiritual impact vertically. Not just horizontally, but vertically. There have been many times, I'm a pastor, there have been many times I've walked into church empty. There have been many times I've walked into church, I'm just kind of dragging in, overwhelmed, stressed out, running on fumes. Sometimes pastoring is hard. It's hard on your family. It's hard on your own walk. And so there's sometimes when I've walked into my church and I'm just dragging in. But there are a few times that I've left feeling that way. Because the body of Christ has ministered to me in singing. And I've been filled up. Maybe you felt that way before. You know, there are over 400 references to singing in Scripture. 50 times we have a direct command by God to us to sing. Zephaniah 3:17 is one of my favorite verses. It says, "The Lord your God is in your midst. The mighty one will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with..." Whoa. There's a spiritual impact horizontally. There's a spiritual impact vertically. Verse 20. You speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Verse 20. Giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. One of the ways that God fills me up is to stir up a heart of gratitude. Are you grateful this morning? Man, I love that song, The Reason. I never heard that song. Whew. We got a reason to sing because the Lord has been so good to us. He's been so good to you. He's been better to you than you ever deserve. He's been far too good to us. We got to be grateful. When we come into this place and we worship from that place of gratitude, man, fills me up. You know, there are a lot of times I get to lead worship at my church, and there's a lot of times we'll sing a song, and then I got to come up and preach, and I got to take a minute just to compose myself. Are you ever overcome like that? Like your heart just bursting with gratitude and thankfulness for what God's done in your life and who He is in your life. And you just got to take a minute to compose yourself. I want to be a grateful person. You want to leave a legacy? You better be a person of gratitude. You better be grateful. I'm grateful that He's pursued me. That He knew my name before I ever took a breath. And He knew all of my days. That He knows me better than anyone else. He knows the deep, dark things about me, and He loves me the most. And He loves me anyway. I'm grateful that He's blessed me with a beautiful wife and two beautiful girls. I'm thankful that He's allowed me to be a pastor. That how unworthy for me to stand on a stage and preach the Word of God. That is the humbling thing. I'm grateful. And sometimes that hits me. Does it ever hit you? Sometimes that gratitude just hits me right in the face. And I'm overcome. There's a spiritual impact both horizontally and vertically when you sing. It matters. You're running on fumes today? Let's sing our hearts out. You're running on empty, you need filled up, you're discouraged, you're down. Sing your heart out. Listen, even when you don't feel like it, sometimes you've got to put a flag in the ground, a stake in the ground, say, you know what, I'm going to declare this to be true about who God is and who He says I am, and I'm just going to sing out of obedience because He's called me to sing, and so I'm going to sing, even when I don't feel like it, for the benefit of the people around me, and for my own filling. You want to leave a legacy, you got to be filled up. You got to be filled up with the Word of God, and you got to sing. You got to be a worshiper. Psalm 40, again, I want to close with this. The worship team, Steve, you guys can come on up. Psalm 40 says, I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined to me, and He heard my cry. He also brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and He set my feet upon a rock, and He established my steps, and He has put a new song in my mouth. Praise to our God. Many will see it and fear and will trust in the Lord. Church, we got a reason to sing. What a beautiful legacy as a church. They love the Word and they love to sing. So I'm going to pray for us, and then we're going to sing. We're going to practice it. All right, so would you stand with me? Father, You are good. Lord, You are way too good to us. And so, Lord, with grateful hearts, we come into Your presence. With gratitude overflowing, Lord, we just say thank You. We praise You for who You are. Lord, I'm thankful that You pulled me out of a pit. Lord, that You set our feet on a rock, that You put a new song in my mouth. Lord, thank You. Thank You for Your grace. Lord, thank You for not giving up on us when we've given You countless reasons to walk away, but You don't. Lord, we've got a reason to sing. You are worthy of our praises. So Lord, maybe this morning we're here and we are just overflowing with gratitude. Let us sing from that place. But Lord, I believe there are some in here that are empty and we just need to sing out of obedience because You've called us to sing. So Lord, we ask right now in this moment that You would fill us up. Fill us up with Your Spirit so that we can walk out of this church and leave a legacy. We can walk out of this church and be difference makers for the kingdom of God. Lord, we need You. We need Your power. We need Your strength. We cannot do anything in our own power. We need You to fill us up. So, Lord, would You come? Lord, would You come? Would You do what only You can do? Lord, we trust You. Lord, we praise You right now. Lord, we want to sing about this beautiful name, the name of Jesus. Lord, may You be praised in us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.